And
oh, I forgot to remind you. Sorry.
Okay, the scripture today is from 1 Peter 1, 3-9. His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Thus he has given us, through these things, his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may escape from the corruption... 1 Peter. Oh, this is 2 Peter. Whoops. Oh, well, that wasn't a bad scripture either, so... Okay. So, 1 Peter, okay. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Is that right?
Okay. Good. Okay. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Phil. Sorry about that. So we come together this Sunday morning, and if you remember, last Sunday we talked about the disciples and that important decision they made to answer Jesus' invitation to get on that boat and to go on the other side. And when they did get on that boat, they were then transformed. They became in awe of Jesus, this man who could stop the winds and cease the waves and storm. They were transformed because they finally truly realized that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior for them. So this morning we're going to talk about looking at the transformation and what it means for us to say we are disciples who are transformed. Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask that the words of my mouth, the reflections of our hearts here, these be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. So this morning, as we look to see how we are transformed by our faith, I want us to think about one specific thing, and that is hope. They say when you have faith, then you also have hope. Hope in all things, hope in the Lord, and belief that all things are possible through the Lord. And I think about the wonderful things that have been happening lately in our society that we hear about. The raise in the minimum wage for workers in Los Angeles, new technology that makes things more easily accessible. We hear about marriage equality that is happening and immigrant families who are now receiving health care. All these wonderful things that we hear about in the news. But then we also hear about things that it seems like we take two steps forward and then all of a sudden we take a step backwards. We hear about the joy that the South Carolina Charleston Church, as they had another wonderful worship service, as they had a funeral service for the loved ones that had been killed by the shooter, and President Obama gave a great eulogy for the pastor of the church who had been shot. Wonderful steps forward as people came forward together to worship the Lord and continue to show their strong faith. But then we hear about steps backwards that our society takes, and we also hear in the South, in South Carolina, that since the shootings, five churches, Baptist Church, Methodist Church, other churches, have been burned. They say that three of the churches that have burned in these past 2 weeks are the cause of arsonists who purposely burned these churches down. I want to think about our own church. What if you arrived on a Sunday morning, and you all usually arrive a little bit late, you know that, right? So if you arrived after the bell chimes, because I know that it's wonderful, we have these wonderful church bells, they chime 10 minutes, exactly 10 minutes before the service. And when the bells chime and I look into the sanctuary, it's still empty. We need to work on that. But what if you showed up to church one Sunday and you saw that the church had been burned down? What would your reaction be? How would that affect your faith? To pull up to Casteller and pull into the parking lot and come out of the parking structure and walk and not see our beautiful, newly painted, as the trustees did such wonderful work, building, but instead to see a wooden frame that had been burned, the banners down, the pews no longer here, our beautiful altar gone, the cross on the ground because nothing is holding it up because the church has been burned down. For us, Chinese UMC is so important, and it's in our heart. It's a symbol even of our faith, and it shows the community how faithful we are. And to have it burned down, I'm curious about how that would affect your faith. Would you then lose hope? What would you do? What would you feel? I think back about the prophet Isaiah, prophet Jeremiah, and I talked about him, I believe, last summer when I shared about the prophets. If you remember the prophet Jeremiah, he was a young man. He came from a priestly family. So when God called him to be a prophet to share these special messages to the people, it wasn't quite surprising. And Jeremiah was great. He told all the people that they were doing wrong. They were following the Babylonian king. They needed to stop the sin and adulterous ways they were doing. And people didn't listen to Jeremiah's message. They didn't heed his warning. And Jeremiah saw his own temple, the temple of Jerusalem, this holy sacred place. He saw the temple destroyed. So you imagine if we saw a Chinese UMC burned down or it destroyed, I can imagine then what Jeremiah is going through as he, before his very eyes, as he was warning his fellow people, warning the fellow worshipers of the Lord to stop their evil ways, to stop paying homage to the Babylonian kings and the idols that were set forth before them. He had given them this warning and they didn't heed the warning. And their holy temple, the temple of Jerusalem, was ruined. Jeremiah then became known as the weeping prophet because he had warned all the people and they did not listen to him and destruction still did happen. Jeremiah then warned the people about these special words to tell them that they must call upon the Lord. They must pray to the Lord and they must search for the Lord. Because when they do those things, then the Lord will give them joy. The Lord will answer their prayers, and the Lord will let himself be found when they search for him. So in this morning's message, when I want to talk about hope and looked about the disciple Apostle Peter and what he said to the new people that he was spreading the good news to remember also the prophet Jeremiah's words thousands of years before that reminded the people that in times of hard and trouble and when hope can be lost, instead to call upon the Lord, instead to pray to the Lord, and instead to search for the Lord. And then when we look at this morning's scripture passage from 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 3, the words of the Apostle Peter as he went out and traveled and shared the good news was telling the people that blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By God's great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. What wonderful words that Peter does. He starts off by saying, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe in a way the Apostle Peter is remembering the prophet Jeremiah's first words to call upon the Lord. That is what we must do to keep our hope, to keep our faith, to call upon the Lord, to proclaim the Lord's greatness. So if you notice, when often we pray, we will say, amazing creator, loving God, gracious God. We use these wonderful words to describe the Lord. The disciple in his ministry, Peter in his ministry, he was always proclaiming the Lord and proclaiming the Lord's glory to all. But first, when we call to the Lord, we must remember that we are naming him as an important person in our life, our Father, our Creator, our person whom we know is in charge of our lives. And because he is so great, he gives us this most wonderful thing that can keep our hope going. It's called living hope. And this is Jesus Christ. Living hope of Jesus Christ, who was resurrected from the dead. And this is important to remember as well. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. His body was taken up into heaven. He ascended into heaven. You know, this past week, I attended two funeral services, the previous Saturday for Joseph Wong and just this Friday for Kenneth Kang's mother. And when I attend so many funeral services so close together, I start to notice certain things. And I noticed at both services, one for Joseph Wong and also for Kenneth's mother, that people, when they spoke of the deceased, would look towards the coffin where the body was. Or in Kenneth's case, they would look towards the urn where his mother's ashes were. That is a natural tendency for us to do. We sort of cling on to the body that is still there. But we must remember, while the body is physically there, the soul, the spirit, is in heaven, present with the Lord. So then when Peter talks about being blessed, blessed be God the Father, whose great mercy is given to us, a new hope, a living hope, he talks about it because it is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To remember that God was so great and powerful, and knowing that he took the body away. So then Jesus' body was not left on earth for people to look at in times of eulogies, or to maybe even idolize, as sometimes happened with the false gods of that time. God is so amazing and so smart and so knowing of us, of our humanness, that he physically took away the body of Jesus, so we were not grounded down to this physical body, but instead were lifted up to the heavenly body that ascended to be at the right hand of God. And we then give hope, get this living hope from Jesus' body that was resurrected, no longer dead, no longer physically here, but in heaven. And that is how, when we call upon the Lord, we must remember this wonderful gift that he gave us, this amazing thing he did when he resurrected Jesus. It's the beginning of the hope that we received with the good news that Jesus Christ was alive and resurrected. And when we have this hope, then we must look to pray to the Lord, as the prophet Jeremiah reminds us. For we know that the apostle Peter, in this morning's passage, he reminds us that we are protected by the power of God for faith and salvation to be revealed at the last time. Peter reminds us to rejoice, for even now, while this little time, we have suffered our various trials, but the genuineness of our faith, that living hope that we have, is more precious than gold, and it can be tested by fire, but it is revealed in Jesus Christ. So then, when we talk about prayer, we know that we must pray to the Lord with our full heart, because the Lord knows what is on our hearts and on our minds, and only the Lord does. Now, I know some Chinese people believe in Chinese fortune tellers. I remember my mom, when I was going into middle school, dragging my sister and I to a fortune teller and having our fortunes read. The woman, she looked at our palms. She even looked at our hair. I'm not quite sure why. She made us do a cupful of sticks that we shook, and then the stick would fall out, and she would read that one stick's fortune. That's no such thing. Only God knows our future. Only God knows our footsteps and our plans. Only God knows what is truly in our hearts. Our fortunes can't be read by another person we pay money to, or even my grandmother, who believed in certain things. So when Peter reminds people that we are protected by the power of God, he reminds that it is revealed, our faith is revealed in Jesus Christ. We receive our faith in Jesus Christ because we receive salvation through Jesus Christ. We are saved by Jesus Christ. And when we know that, and when we pray to the Lord, we must be honest in our prayers to truly confess our sins and where we have gone wrong. And when we confess these sins and confess where we have gone wrong and are true in our hearts, then we receive repentance. But we must do it honestly and with a good will and with a good intention. I have a friend who, she has a little boy, he's about 6 now, and he's always doing things that are wrong, and they're trying to figure out ways to teach him right and wrong. So they developed a thing called a bad boy jar. And the bad boy jar is, I think, an empty spaghetti jar that they cut a hole at the top. And every time little Timmy does something wrong, he has to put a quarter in the jar. But then when the jar gets filled with quarters, they take it all out. And she says it's usually only about, like, you know, $15, $18. But they buy him pizza, so he kind of gets a reward. And Timmy's smart, so he's figured out that he can keep doing things wrong, getting a quarter in the jar, and after 2 weeks or so, he'll have enough for pizza. So she's thinking of revising the bad boy jar plan. But when we do things wrong, are we really quick to admit, yes, we've done something wrong, here's our quarter for the bad jar, and then we go on with our lives? We don't stop and really truly learn this lesson. And when you pray to the Lord, if you are praying to the Lord to forgive you for your sins and the things you have done wrong, if you then the next day continue to do wrong or do something else that you know will upset the Lord, are we really learning our lesson? Or are we like little Timmy, just absently putting quarters in the bad boy jar until we get our pizza party reward? No, when we pray to God, we must truly pray to God on our knees to confess our sins and be remorseful, to truly repent and know that we have done wrong, to keep that living hope alive and available when we pray to the Lord. And after we have called to the Lord and after we have prayed to the Lord, we must always remember to search for the Lord. For the prophet Jeremiah's words say, when you search for the Lord, he will find you. It's like that verse from Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 7, to seek and ye shall find, knock and the door will be answered. Peter the apostle also says that even though we have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Isn't that what we are looking for when we seek the Lord? Salvation for our souls. And it's this amazing thing that Peter reminds these new people, the new Christians he is speaking to then, and even to us today, that even though we have not seen the Lord, we love him. And even though we have not seen him now physically before our eyes, we believe in him. We believe in him so much that we have indescribable and glorious joy. What wonderful words from the Apostle Peter. You know, truthfully, we are a society that needs to see things physically before us. I can't even do a lot of online shopping because I'm always afraid it's not going to be the right size or the shoes won't fit. So I like going into the stores and physically trying on the clothes or pushing the buttons on a thing I'm thinking of buying. And we also know we're a society filled of needing to see things first, Match.com, Tinder, all those dating websites that are out there that people can put their profile pictures on. You know, it's probably a picture that's 5 years old, but they look really great in that photo, and they put it on the dating websites, and they list their hobbies, and they list their likes. I like the long walks on the beach, or I love funny 80s music. You know, all those things that we use to attract people. Because we are a society that wants to see first, to physically see a person, to know what their hobbies are, or when we're shopping, to go into stores. We become a society that we have to see first to believe then. And sometimes I think that gets in the way of being a Christian, because as we as Christians, we know and have Jesus Christ in our heart, but yet we have never seen Jesus, right? Anyone here seen Jesus? If you have, then you need to be the minister preaching here in this pulpit. Not me. No, we have not physically ourselves seen Jesus, touched his robe, touched his feet like his apostles did, like Peter did. But yet we believe because we have such strong faith. We know that when we search for the Lord, he is there for us and he will let us find him in Jesus Christ. That is possible. For we know that when we search for the Lord, we are searching for our salvation. And we know the Lord gives us Jesus Christ. We have the scripture, the word of God that tells about the gospels of Jesus Christ. We have the experiences in our life that we call Christ-like moments. When we serve the homeless, when we have Bible study with each other, when we have funny things even happening in worship. Our physical church itself is a reminder of the wonderfulness of Jesus Christ in our lives. These are all ways that we can live with a living hope, to call unto the Lord, to pray to the Lord, to continue to have hope when we search for the Lord. So when the prophet Jeremiah said earlier, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. The Lord's plans for your welfare and for not harm. The Lord's plans are to give us hope." In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 to 14, Jeremiah says the Lord's plan is to give you a future without hope. For remember, Jeremiah's own temple had been destroyed, but he's still speaking these words of hope to the people, even after all the destruction. He says in 29, verse 11 to 14, the Lord has plans for you to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me, the Lord, and come to pray to me, I will hear you. And the Lord says, when you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. That is a most amazing and wonderful thing. The Lord lets us find him. He lets us have a relationship with Jesus Christ, our path to salvation. We must not take that for granted, but remember instead to call upon the Lord, to pray to the Lord, to search for the Lord, continue to believe in that living hope that we have. So even if one Sunday we show up and Chinese UMC is burned to the ground, we will still have hope because we have Jesus Christ in our hearts, the living hope that we have present, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we know that you transform us by our faith, that you give us the living hope in Jesus Christ. He is our way in salvation, his death for our sins. But we know that we must be repentant of what we have done wrong, to remember the sacrifice of your Son. As we take communion together later today, we will remember that his body was broken for us, his blood was shed for us, that we must continue to believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us living hope, as we call on you, Lord, pray to you, Lord, and always search for you, Lord, now and forever. Amen. We enter now into a time of communion together as we take the Lord's Supper. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ.
By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us one with the new covenant by water and the Spirit. on the night in which he gave himself up for us. He took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. Gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim together the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes again in final victory, and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence as children of God, let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass to us. We now come together and receive Holy Communion to remember the body of Christ that was broken for us and the blood of Christ that was shed for us. We invite you now to come forward as you are able.
Consider my affliction and please deliver me. Plead my cause and redeem me. Salvation's not for the wicked, but they don't seek your word. Great are your tender mercies, Lord. Revive me according to your loving kindness. Revive me, that I may seek your word. Revive me, according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord. You give me understanding, according to your word. Great peace for those who seek your face. I long for salvation, my lips shall praise your name. I rejoice in the treasure of your keep. Revive me according to your loving kindness. Revive me, that I may seek your word.
Heavenly and gracious Father, our Lord, we again come before you this Sunday to continue to worship you in this beautiful church building. We take communion together as we remember the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose body was broken for us, whose blood was shed for us, so that we may have hope, continuous living hope present in our lives. For believing in you, our lives are full as we continue to walk with Christ. Amen.
Now is the time for offering. Can I have the ushers come forward? Please rise for the doxology. Join me in the prayer of dedication. Dear Heavenly Father, O gracious God, we thank you for all the blessings that you